Next, I request Swami Ishtananda, head of the Vedanta. Swami Ishtananda, head of the Vedanta Society of St. Petersburg, Florida, to address us. His topic is Bhakti Yoga. Ishtananda.
It is a privilege to talk about such a holy, saintly personality like Swami Prabuddhananda Maharaj. It has already been said about him as one of our previous speaker was talking that even on the first sight of the Swami, how he felt when he was a young monk at the Belur Math, that here is a holy man, here is a saintly person, a saint that he was beholding. And that is the experience that kind of many of us might have felt about him. I had the opportunity only of seeing him from a distance before coming to this country at some of the occasions that Swami Prabuddhanandi attended, some of the celebrations at Belur Math, and because I was living in the Belur Math area for many, many years, as a young monk, I could see him, but from a distance. So you could imagine the eagerness in my mind to meet him personally when I landed for our Hollywood Center. Ever since I came there and I was staying in San Diego, I was waiting for the day when I shall be able to come to San Francisco and see him, personally meet him, talk to him. And that opportunity came naturally. I had to wait only a little over 1 year. In the spring of 2001, I came to attend the Shanti Ashram retreat and saw the Swami. As many of the speakers have already explained about the Swami, his very special characters, that the Swami, I didn't hear much about, but the Swami was a strict disciplinarian, both for himself, about his own monastic life, and about the life of all the people around him, the monks, the nuns, the devotees. He loved discipline, the internal discipline and external as well. But when I met him, as you have already learned, that he had this practice of receiving even the youngest of the monks at the airport. From that very moment I saw him, of course he was very strong and healthy, and as usual very smiling, a figure. But I always felt a very loving, affectionate person in Swami Prabuddhananda. Is this many different aspects or many different images that I could form since then about Swami Prabuddhananda from many of our meetings. He even visited me when I was in San Diego Monastery, and once he also visited me at St. Petersburg, Florida Center. And there also he had the same kind of character that is reflected through all his activities. Like when he was coming to St. Petersburg with Prakash and the flight got disrupted, there was some kind of stormy climate near Atlanta where he was changing his flight, and all planes got canceled to Tampa Airport. By a sheer stroke of luck, they could get the last flight going to some 80 miles down south from us, and they boarded that plane, and they reached almost like midnight there. But as usual, Swami Prabhudhananda was the image of peace and quiet and calm demeanor and the serenity and everything. There was not the smallest of the excitement or agitation or anything even there. So this is Swami Prabhudhananda. Many different images have since then been imprinted in my head, in my mind, whenever I think of him. But the first image that pops up on my mind when I think of him is a very different way. That is, when I first saw him at the Shanti Ashram while he was doing the puja, and there, and his puja, unlike many of the worship systems that we follow in several of our centers, both in India as well as here in this country, his system or his method of worship was much simpler, I observed. But the thing, or the particular thing that I really, really was charmed to see in him, the way he was offering the flowers to the Lord, that became a very special image in my head. The way he was picking up the choicest of the roses that are grown in Olema, I believe, of many different colors, several of them, picking up with both of his hands, looking towards the Lord with the deepest of love from his heart, and then offering at their feet to Thakur, to Mother and Swamiji, and to other deities there. That was such a charming a sight, and that left such a wonderful, sweet impression in my mind, that whenever I think of Swami Prabhudhananda, that comes to my mind first. That act of his offering the flowers, that was the reflection of the devotion that he had for the devotee, for the holy trial. The devotion that has appeared in many different forms, the devotion that has appeared in the way he has lived his life, the life that was like a sacrifice, the entire life which was like an offering to the Lord. By the way, my brother Swami Tyagananda, when he was describing the principles of Karma Yoga, that was also his salient point, that whatever you are doing, your entire life, everything offered to the Lord, that is the Karma Yoga. So I am now saying that is the Bhakti Yoga. I remember in one of the writings of our 9th president of the order, Swami Madhavananji, and Swami Madhavananji was known for his knowledge in scripture, in-depth knowledge in scripture, as well as his straightforwardness. He would speak things in just shortest and straightforward possible manner. He wrote in a short article that pure Karma Yoga is hard to find. And that is why we see that in Swami Vivekananda's writing, he says that there was only one Karma Yogi in the entire human history, and that was Buddha. Because Madhavananda says that this Karma Yoga, either it is a part of your practice of bhakti, or it is a part of your faith or conviction of jnana. So that is how the Karma Yoga is mostly practiced. And I took it as a part or an act of his devotion, as a reflection of his devotee's heart. So today I was given this topic to talk on bhakti yoga. And bhakti, as we, I believe, all have heard of or know, that bhakti is the utmost love for God, the absolute love of God that has been defined in the form of this is, it is immortal love, it is non-dying love, and this love that brings the ultimate satisfaction to the devotee. There are many traditional definitions that are existing about what is a bhakti. Some say that bhakti is about the intense desire or love for doing worship of the Lord. Some other great sages, they have defined bhakti in terms of the strong longing in the heart of the devotee to constantly talk about God and hear about God. Some others, they have gone a little bit further and they have defined bhakti in terms of the conviction of the devotee that Lord is my inner self. These are the different ways that traditionally the devotion has been defined. And we see that Sri Ramakrishna, he used to recommend the Narada's way as the bhakti of our suitability. And Narada defined bhakti that it is absolute surrender of all activities, and also it is extreme anguish at the forgetfulness of the Lord. When we forget God, then do we feel that kind of anguish in our heart? Continuous remembrance of the divine. These are the traditional definitions that are given about bhakti. And Sri Ramakrishna says that this bhakti is the way, the path, most suited to the modern man. And he explains that bhakti is all about worshipping God with our body, with our mind, with our speech. Let our hands be engaged in the service of the Lord, in the worship of the Lord. Let our feet be engaged in taking us to the temple of the Lord, to the holy places. Let our ears be engaged only hearing to the divine name of the Lord and his glories, description of his glories. Let our speech be also engaged accordingly. Let the eyes behold only the divine everywhere. Sri Ramakrishna explained bhakti in these many different ways, and he tells us that for a bhakta it is not wrong to have some kind of ego that I am a devotee. This ego is not going to harm anyone. It is going to help. He gives many different leniencies even for the people of modern life who are very busy and they don't have that time to engage themselves completely in their devotional activities. He said that even just those who are very busy in their life, if they remember Lord twice a day in the morning and evening, clapping their hands, that is enough. So we find many different ways this bhakti has been defined, from the very traditional way, many different scriptures, to the time of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother and their disciples, that how the bhakti has been described. All these different scriptures and their commentaries and their explanations If they are collected together, then it will be a huge library may be created out of that, of these books on bhakti. But what really makes difference, what only sets apart from all these things that we read in the book or we listen in talks, is if you can see some real example, if this bhakti is exemplified in a life, what a great confidence devotees will get in their life by watching a personality like Swami Prabuddhananji day in and day out. I was talking to another very close member of the center that I wanted to hear something from the devotees also about Swami Prabuddhananji, who have lived with him for such a long period of time. What a great and intense level of conviction in this path of religion, the faith in God, the belief that it gives result, all this will come not from the books, not from the many different lectures, but it is from the life that a person has lived. This Swami Prabuddhananji's life was like that. His whole life in the monastery, it was not just 44 years living here, even before that, it was a continuous and constant sacrifice. It was a dedication to the Lord. Physically, mentally, intellectually, he was continuously offering himself to the Lord. And as a result of that, he also was drawing rich dividend out of it. The rich dividend that has been mentioned in, again, the Narada Bhakti Sutra, he says that yallabdhva puman siddho bhavati amrito bhavati tripto bhavati. I thought I also have got plenty of time, as in the first session was. So Swami, he achieved that tripta, or the satisfaction that we found. I remember, I am going to close it with this, that when I came in 2013, October, to see him, he was at that time doing a little bit better. And then, in course of our very different conversation and talks that we had between us, he looked very pleased and very happy. And then he shared his heart with a beaming face that, you know, I feel so very happy and so very satisfied that I have lived my entire life conscientiously to do everything to the best of my knowledge and best of my ability to serve God, to worship God. I am very satisfied. He appeared to be completely prepared to now return back home, back to his real parents. So this is the life of Swami Prabuddhananda that appeared to me when I was asked to speak on Bhakti Yoga. It appeared to me that his book was an open book of Bhakti Yoga. Let me talk about Swami Prabuddhananda a little bit more and about the traditional Bhakti Yoga a little bit less, because his whole life, which was a sacrifice, as has been already been mentioned, was like that impression that I carry all the time in my mind about how he was offering flower to the Lord. Thank you very much for your kind question.
our thanks to Swami Ishtananda of the Vedanta Center of St. Petersburg, Florida, not to be confused with Swami Ishatmanandaji, who is seated by his right. And